All right. Welcome to another edition of Shabbat Lounge. This is Matt, and I'm flying solo today. I recently had the privilege of speaking to Matthew Jansen, and he carved out a few minutes for us on Sabbath Lounge, and we were able to talk about some current issues and kind of a little bit more about him. And unfortunately, we talked for a minute, and I did not record. So about halfway through the recording, I realized that I hadn't pressed the record button. But if you're unfamiliar with Matthew, he has been married to his wife Tisha since 1998. They've got 5 children and 6 grandchildren. And they believe that everyone in their family should seek Yahweh first and foremost and have a focus on being a family unit. They practice home education, homesteading, and practice a lot of love and forgiveness. So, the part that got cut off, he talked to me a little bit about how he went from being kind of a normal Christian to walking in Torah, and he actually did that through his wife. His wife had been walking in Torah. She grew up in Torah, and he spent a lot of time with his current father-in-law, and his father-in-law was able to teach him a lot of about walking in Torah, and that's kind of how he came in to family, came into the Torah family. And we talked about some pitfalls in the Torah movement. We also talked about the roles of fatherhood in the Torah, you know, in this movement as well. So one of the things that he talked about is being the pitfalls. We pretty much went into that, but he talks about Paul and about how some people study and they walk away from Paul, and it leads to some disastrous consequences. Usually, you know, many lose their faith over it. And we just talked a lot about how important our family, how important men spending time with their children is. And, you know, it is the most important thing when we look at Torah families and what it means to be a good man. They've got to lead their family. And if they don't have a handle on that, they don't need to be worried about a bunch of other things, because that that does come first in taking care of their wives and their family. So anyway, if you're not familiar with Matthew Jansen, please follow him. He's got a YouTube channel. He's got a Facebook page as well, and he also has a TikTok with a pretty good following. He's a musician. He plays and sings, and he's just an all-around great guy. And I think you'll enjoy our conversation. And we look forward to more conversations with Matthew in the future. But anyway, I apologize for losing part of this audio, but you'll just kind of jump right in here and enjoy the conversation with Matthew. So we'll just start recording.
Oh my goodness.
In the middle of that.
Oh, brother.
So, you know, I was a little off my game. I kept, you know, cuz Jake's usually here to keep me honest, and I kept thinking something is off.
Oh, my goodness.
Something doesn't seem right.
I'm sorry.
And finally,
we just went about 30 minutes.
There we go. So we won't have to start necessarily from the beginning, but you were talking briefly about Paul, and it's a pitfall many people go down, and I have seen a minister that pursued that, and I believe he's not a believer. He completely lost his faith. It went down such a dark rabbit hole, and he questioned everything. And pretty soon, he didn't believe the Bible. He didn't believe the Torah. You know, he's throwing it all out the window.
Yeah, that's what I've seen too. I've seen it over and over and over. It probably in the last 27 years, I've seen it probably around, I don't know, couple dozen times. I've watched it go, and thankfully some people are not consistent. Some people deny Paul and then just keep everybody else. And that's inconsistent. It's very inconsistent. But some people are consistent and eventually deny Yeshua. And that's just, it's just so sad. because I don't believe a person can have salvation if they reject Yeshua of Nazareth as the as the Mashiach, as the anointed one of Yahweh. I don't believe that they can have salvation. No matter how good they think they are, how many laws they think they keep, I think that Yeshua came to reverse the curse of Adam, and that apart, if you reject him, then you know that you're still under that curse. And it's just, like I said, it's a domino effect with the Apostle Paul. That's probably the number one thing I would warn people of. Once again, it is okay for you to say, all right, well, this right here in Paul's writings doesn't seem like it jives with the Torah. I'm going to set it up on the shelf. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to ask some elders about it and spend some time in prayer, ask Yahweh to reveal to me the harmony. All of that's fine. And it's fine to recognize that the Torah and the prophets are the foundation. It's fine to recognize that Yeshua's teachings are the superior, that Paul is one sent out by Yeshua and somebody that is sent out by the sender or the superior is subject or submissive to the one who sent him out. All of that is fine. What I'm saying is, don't get in there and make this shallow argumentation or this skimming over a book like Galatians, Colossians, or Thessalonians, and not really digging into the context, both linguistically, culturally, to see what Paul is saying, just like we do the rest of the Bible. I can take some of the arguments that people use to denounce Paul as an apostle, and I can use them to disprove the book of Genesis. We have atheists today that say you can't trust the Bible because Genesis 1 contradicts Genesis 2.
Right.
I mean, you know, and it's pretty shallow argumentation there. So I just would encourage people not to deny Paul as an apostle. Hey, find an elder, find somebody seasoned in the word, in the Torah community, and spend some time learning. And maybe that will bring us to the second pitfall I see in the Torah community, is that people start keeping the Sabbath for a week or two, or eating clean for a month or two, and they think that they are supposed to be a teacher. Mm. And that's just not how it's not how it operates. That's not how it goes. I started teaching too young at the age of 25. Okay. If I had it do over again, I would have said, no, I need to wait at least another 5 years. But be that as it may, even though I started at 25, from the age of 16 to the age of 25, I was a disciple of an elder in the Torah faith. I have no problem calling myself a disciple. There were disciples in the scriptures, not just of Rabbi Yeshua, but Yochanan, John the Baptizer. He had disciples as well. And there were other rabbis, teachers in the first century that had disciples, students, pupils that learned under somebody that was older and more seasoned in the faith. And so it was like 9 or 10 years before I started teaching in a congregation that I would sit and learn and be quiet and listen to people debate and discuss and talk about scripture. And that's what needs to be done when you come into the faith of keeping the Torah. You need to just be quiet for a little while, sit and listen and learn from an older man or older woman in the faith, and grow, understand before you start trying to teach. We see in the Torah community, people want to jump right into a teaching position because they get a little bit of knowledge. And then we see this Lone Ranger mentality where they think, I don't have to go to a congregation, or they misquote or abuse a text in 1 John that say, you don't need any man teach you. I have the anointing mm-hmm. that teaches me. And they come up with all these strange esoteric doctrines. You need to slow down, slow your roll, and recognize that Yahweh even said in Leviticus 19, not to even eat the fruit off of a tree until it was circumcised at 5 years old.
Yep.
And he likens us as to fruit-bearing trees in the parables of Yeshua. So it takes time to learn. It doesn't mean you're not forgiven. It doesn't mean mm-hmm. Yahweh doesn't love you. It just means, hey, you need to just practice a while. Matthew 5:19 says, whosoever therefore practices and teaches the least of these commandments. So you don't teach before you practice. Ezra 7:10, Ezra was a ready scribe. He was skilled in the Torah of Moshe. And he devoted his life to study the Torah, to practice the Torah, and to teach the Torah in Israel. And that order is in there for a reason. Study first, practice second, and then teach. You don't jump to teaching before you've practiced or studied. And by studying, I don't mean you spend an hour in your bedroom one night reading an article. Mm-hmm. It takes time. You got to go to the original languages. It just takes a lot of time. Bible study is not easy. It's meticulous. It can be difficult at times. And plus two, James 3:1 says, let not many of you be teachers, right? Knowing that you'll incur a stricter judgment. So it's okay just to sit back and be a listener and learn. There's been times when I've come across a verse as I teach verse by verse most of the time in our congregation. And I'll tell the congregation, I'm not comfortable with teaching on this particular verse that we've come to today. So we're going to move on to something else, not because I'm ignoring the verse, but because I need more time to study and to meditate before I teach you what I believe to be the best understanding of this text. So all of that is quite all right. So that would be the second pitfall, I think, in the Torah community that I've seen.
Yeah, no, that's great. Great wisdom. You know, when you think about both Moses and Paul in their life, they reflect that. You know, Moses goes off and he's with Jethro for 40 years.
Yeah.
And he learned some hard lessons. You know, it took 40 years to get him to a place where he could kind of come back. And then still he comes back and he's like, I can't talk very good. I need some help. So he still had lots of things to work on. And Paul, you know, he does go off. You know, a lot of people believe he goes back to maybe Mount Sinai and he spends some time there. And, we don't know exactly how long some of those things happen, but that principle is all over scripture. And yes, you're right. Too many people jump in too early and think they know a few things. And sometimes they can do some damage. And I also think, you know, what you're talking about, getting some wisdom from older folks is so wise, because I know so many people that get into this and they become Torah terrorist.
Oh, man.
And they just rip their family a new one and over dumb things. And, you know, and especially some of us that grew up with godly people, godly, loving people that love God with all their heart. And they come into those families sometimes and just point the finger about how pagan they are or whatever it is, and burn bridges that take a long time to rebuild. And sometimes they don't get rebuilt. And that's another reason why to slow down a little bit, sit at someone's feet, learn a little bit. Cause maybe if you sit at someone's feet, they could tell you, Hey, don't say that. don't do that to your sister or your dad or your mom. Would be good advice.
I've been guilty of that, brother, in the past, especially in my late teenage and in my early twenties. I was learning to love Yahweh's law, but I had yet to learn to love his mercy and his patience and his long suffering. And it wasn't until probably around the age of 28 to 32 that I started learning all that other stuff. And man, I'm telling you, folks, you will make so much more headway if you approach people with the attributes and the fruit of the Spirit there in Galatians 5. Two texts I always remind myself of. One's in 2 Timothy, I think, chapter 2, maybe around verse 24. It says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, able to teach, patient when he instructs those who oppose. Perhaps the Almighty might grant them repentance. So that teaches gentleness. And then I think it's in 1 Peter chapter 3. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 3, right around verses 15 through 17. That says, always be ready to give an answer or give a defense when somebody asks you a question of the hope that lies within you. Mm-hmm. But then it says, people miss this part, it says, but give that answer in gentleness and in reverence. So I promise you, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, grievous words stir up anger. You will get way more advance. You'll make way more headway with somebody if you listen, are patient, are not a terrorist when it comes to the Torah. And if you just realize that just because somebody is a modern Christian doesn't mean they're a bad person, doesn't mean they don't have salvation. It doesn't mean they haven't experienced the forgiveness of sins and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They're just at a different stage or grade. They're in the same school. I'm not saying that everybody that professes to be a believer in Christ is. I'm not saying that. Some people are not. You know, they profess to know the Almighty, but in works they deny Him. But I'm just saying that, you know, every little small town preacher down at the Baptist church is not, a servant of the devil, as some people in the Torah community will lead you to believe. Yeah. And it's just not the case. So, we got to get out of that mentality and be kind and gentle with people and meet people where they're at and remember to be just as patient with them as Yahweh was with you.
That's right.
You're still not, everybody listening now, you're still not where you need to be. None of us are, but yet Yahweh loves us right where we're at.
That ought
to spur you to be kind, loving, and gentle and patient with everyone else.
Yeah, that's good. And another thing that's good to pray is that ask God to help you see people the way He sees them. Because that'll help you change too, you know, because sometimes you can get so mad at someone and theology or whatever, but we still have to see them the way He sees them. And it's real easy to forget that part.
Yeah. I was going to tell you too, brother, if we need to schedule another time to record that first part where we talked about the family again.
Okay.
I'll be glad to do that. I have, no problem. And then you can just piece it all together. I hate that we didn't get that on recording.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Maybe me and you needed to hear it, you know?
Maybe so. Maybe, it was a good conversation for sure. Yeah. So everything doesn't have to be recorded and still it's okay.
I did a whole hour broadcast one time and never hit the record.
Almost did it. So, I don't know where we are on time. So, are you getting pretty close?
It's 6:57. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me see here. I'm gonna tell my wife we're gonna go to 7:10.
Well, I think we could probably talk for a minute back up with that and kind of finish on the family and explain the role of fathers. I think that would be a good place for us to end it, and we'll just kind of end it there. So I'd ask you a question about how important is it the role of father and the role of fatherhood in this walk today?
So the role of the father is of utmost importance. With the role of the father comes the role of the husband. I tell men all the time that there is no need for you to be on social media arguing about theology if you do not have your personal and family life in order. And you know, men, you know yourself better than anybody else. So don't lie to yourself. Don't trick yourself. You need to stop everything else. If you don't have a good relationship with your wife and your children, you just stop everything else. Get rid of all that other stuff that you're doing, whether it be social media, sports, television, whatever, and take care and mend that relationship with your wife and train your children up. You need to spend as much time with your wife and children as you possibly can. I know we have to work to provide for our family materially and financially, and that's scripture as well. But when you're not doing that, especially if you have young children that need to be molded and shaped in the right direction and right way, and that's mostly done from age 1 day to 5 years old, not that you can't do it after that, but that's when they're going to get most of that critical molding. Spend all your spare time with your children. I used to come home from work when all five of my children were little, and I'd come in the door and my wife would say, "Your turn." And she'd go and she'd, get her bath or take care of some things that she needed to take care of. And sometimes I'd be tired, but I'd spend an hour or two every day, every evening after work, running around the living room with the kids, wrestling in the floor, reading the Bible, singing a song to them, teaching them how to pray the Lord's Prayer. And because I spent all of that time with them, I was one of the biggest influences in their life. I was probably the second biggest influence in their life next to their mother, because my wife has home educated all five of our children. But my wife and I wanted to be the biggest influence in our children's lives. And so we didn't say, well, it's quality time over quantity time. No, we said quantity time is quality time. It's one of my biggest things that I preach when I talk to people about raising children and keeping a family. So it's so important. Your children are going to be so much more apt to grow up and serve the Creator when you and your wife have a relationship with not just the Creator, but with each other. And they see a righteous couple that are in love in the kitchen, in the living room, together at church. They're going to see that, and that's going to spur them to want to have that in their life when they grow old. But if you have a problem there in the marriage, and you're not willing, men, you're not willing to admit when you're wrong and ask for forgiveness from your wife or ask for forgiveness from your children, and you're just going to be a stubborn, hard-headed man, it's not going to go well. Your children are eventually going to grow up and see the real you. The real you that they need to be acquainted with needs to be a righteous you, not one that puts on a facade or just shows up to church and speaks a few spiritual platitudes, right? They're going to grow up one day and they're going to turn, get in their 20s. And if you were just faking it and you really weren't a righteous dad and a righteous husband, they're going to see it. They're going to see it. And they're not going to want to have anything to do with your religion, even if what you believe is true. They're not going to want to have anything to do with it. So it's so, so important. Everything stems from a holy marriage and holy parenting. Everything else stems and goes out of that. So it doesn't matter how good your tassels look. It doesn't matter how big your beard is. It doesn't matter what calendar you keep. It doesn't matter how you pronounce a sacred name. If you're not guiding your home, being a good husband, being a good father, performing those weightier duties in the Torah, all the other stuff I just mentioned previously matters, but it doesn't matter if you're not being a good husband and a good dad. Trust me, men, it starts from there. It's so, Matt, it's so important. It's the best question you could have ever asked. So important.
Well, I 100% agree. You know, I've heard there's the old adage of, you know, how do you spell love? E-I-M-E. And, you know, and it's true, especially in our world today, maybe more true than ever, because so many things are competing for your time. And there are many gods, little g gods of this world that we give into many times, and especially young fathers. And there's something so important about what you said. You know, I just saw a study the other day that talked about how when dads roughhouse with their kids and they pick them up and throw them around and, I mean, do all the crazy stuff that we're supposed to do, you know, it just comes natural. That releases, you know, hormones and releases just a overwhelming, you know, endorphins, and the kids feel confident and they feel good. They need that. And they feel secure, and it's just it's what y'all meant, and that's what we're supposed to do. And I think that evening routine is important. You know, read to your kids. If you want your kids to be readers, you're gonna have to read to them. They're gonna have to see you read, and just develop those routines. There's nothing more precious, and nothing more that I. Looking back when my kids were little, you know, that's some of my favorite memories, you know, and I would make up goofy stories, and I would read a book and change the words and make it mean something different and just be silly and, you know, get them all riled up and then sometimes wonder why they couldn't go to sleep. So it's just what we do.
Yeah. So much fun. I miss it. It almost brings tears to my eyes. But we raise our children to become adults, right? We don't raise them to stay children. So I'm thankful I have one more son. He's 15, and he's not the same as when he was 5, obviously, but he's 15. I told him I don't want him to go anywhere for a long time. Hopefully I'll have him for a few more years. And he and I, he's my buddy. He's still my buddy. I mean, we do a lot of things together. But those of you that have the young children, listen, I know every once in a while it's good to have a grandparent or somebody you trust watch the children, and you take your wife out on a dinner date or something, just you and her. Every once in a while, that's fine. But don't be afraid to take your children with you everywhere that you go. Everywhere that you go, just take them with you. Let them be around you. You don't want that child thinking, well, Dad always pawned me off on Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, take them with you. Dads, if you can, take them to work with you. Moms, put them there when you wash the dishes or when you're sewing something or cooking something or doing something in the home, keeping the home. Keep those daughters with you. Dads, keep those sons with you. It will do you a world of good, a world of good. Some of my greatest memories is taking 12, 13, 14-year-old sons with me to work. I remember one night I took my two oldest sons, who at the time were, I think they were 14 and 13. And I pump septic tanks for a living, by the way, Brother Matt. So it was a Christmas Eve, and we don't celebrate Christmas, right?
Right.
So Christmas Eve, it was storming. Everybody's septic tanks were backing up. So I told the boys, I said, look, we're just going to work until there's no more work left. We worked till 2 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, man.
On Christmas Eve. People looked, that one lady said, it was like Santa Claus is showing up here to unclog the toilets. And I had the beard too. So, but anyhow, that's a joke. We don't do Santa Claus in our home.
Right.
But my son still, you know, those two sons now are 20, almost 24 and 22. And they still talk about that Christmas Eve night when we stayed out till 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. with Dad, you know, and we just made a fun night of it, and they made good money. They made some good money that evening when we got over with. It was cold. We were wet, but I paid them. They were excited. And now we got that memory here. Man, it's probably a good almost 10 years later. But those are the type of things that you can do anytime you have possible to do with your children. And man, they're going to grow up and they're going to want to be like you. If you are like that, those boys are going to want to grow up and be like their dad. And man, I heard a 60-year-old man the other day say that his dad never told him he loved him. He never hugged him. He never spent any time with him. A 60-year-old man, tear up.
That's terrible.
And I don't know what that feels like, because I had a good dad. And I'm not a perfect dad, but I've tried to be a good dad to all my children. And man, that children need their parents. They need their parents. So, and this is all Torah. Sometimes we get so sidetracked and we think, well, talking about how to, you know, the exact way to keep this feast, that's Torah, or, you know, the right color blue in the tassel, the tzitzit, that's Torah, and all that's good too. I can talk about all that stuff, but this is the meat and the bones of the Torah, the family unit.
Amen. Yeah.
It's very important. Hallelujah.
And so important in our world today. I mean, our whole world has fallen apart because the family fell apart.
Yes.
You know, you can trace it back to that single thing. And cultures in the world where the family is still good, those cultures do well. And yes. when that family breaks down, it's just everything goes down. You know, the whole, all of it is built upon that. And, but yeah, I love hearing you talk about that and having that, you know, also think something missing. We've got to have that kind of a warrior mindset on our spirituality and going in and realizing we're at war. Yes, and the enemy is after us. The enemy wants to destroy us as men. He wants to destroy our children. And we've got to be on our game. And we're not going to win all these battles. And like, just like you said, we're going to fail. And we also need to have our children see us fail. And it's okay to say, man, I messed up. I lost my cool.
Yes.
As you know, sometimes when they're working with you, they need to see you get mad and throw a wrench, because sometimes it happens.
Boy, ain't that the truth, brother.
But anyway. But that's good. Well, I know you're gonna have to run, and Matthew, is there anything else you'd like to discuss or mention before you gotta go?
You know, I'm not sure if we got this earlier or not, but I'm gonna repeat something here. One thing that I would encourage each and every person to do is to plug in to a local fellowship or community where you have at least one gathering, one meeting, a week. Now, a lot of people in the Torah community do not like me to say what I'm about to say, but if I was not a teaching elder and I did not have a congregation, I would find a small local Christian church. You say, Brother Matthew, a Christian church? I'm not talking about anyone. I ain't talking about the mega church down the street.
Right.
I'm talking about a small local fellowship where people practice loving their neighbor as their self. And there's a pastor there that genuinely studies the Bible. He may not be on the same page as you with the Torah, but I would find somewhere where there was some genuine longing to serve the Creator and serve a fellow man. And I would plug into that, and I would not go to cause disruption. If I had any discussion matters, I would take them to the pastor in private. I know an older man in the Torah who is deceased now, may he rest in peace. He did this very thing. He went to this small local Christian church, about 50 members, and he befriended the pastor. Him and his wife befriended the pastor and the pastor's wife. And they became friends and had dinner with each other. And eventually the pastor asked him about his tassels or Sabbath keeping or things like that. And he had went there with a gentle, kind spirit for a year. And he got so close with the pastor that the pastor started letting him teach a Sunday school class. And he got to teach about the Sabbath, and the church changed to keep the Sabbath. He got to teach about the dietary laws. The pastor started teaching the dietary laws. All because this man didn't go in with guns blazing, but he went in because him and his wife didn't have any fellowship, and he wanted some good conservative Christian fundamental fellowship. I would encourage you. It's so important. Yeshua's custom was to enter into the synagogue every Shabbat day. Luke 4:16, Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake to assemble yourselves together as some habitually do. And so it's so important. And a lot of things, Torah men and women, a lot of things our Christian brothers and sisters do better than we do.
Amen. Yeah, they do. So, boy, that's
very
that's,
important. Plug into a fellowship. Plug into a fellowship.
Wow, that's a powerful story. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yes,
that's
sir, awesome. Brother. Yes, sir.
Well, I know you're going to have to go. I appreciate you spending time today. I just ask that you'd follow Matthew on all his social media platforms. Check him out. And not because any of us are anything great, but it's all about Yah. And we just pray that all the glory and honor goes to him. And I appreciate your time today. And I hope you continue to do well in your business. And I'm looking. Hope it warms up at your house and you see some nice spring weather.
Likewise. Likewise, I'm ready for the Passover, brother.
That's right. It'll be here soon. But so well, I appreciate your time.
Thank you, brother. If anybody wants to follow me, Facebook is probably the best, Matthew Jansen, and then TikTok, MJData5 is probably the best two ways to follow the teachings, and then that'll lead you to the YouTube channel. And so, yeah, been doing it a long time, and been thinking about a lot of these things for a long time. So I've enjoyed meeting Brother Matt here, what they have to offer on the Sabbath Lounge. I've watched some of the YouTube videos, some of the TikTok videos. It's good to meet another brother that loves the Creator and loves his Messiah. Thank you, brother.
That's right. I appreciate it. And may Yah continue to bless you and your family, and have a great evening.
Shalom.